The title of the series is Living Life Beyond Regret. Living life beyond regret. We all have regrets in our life, but we want to get the victory over that. We want to live life beyond that. We want to live in His peace and in His joy. And so today I want to talk about rejection and relational brokenness. And all of us have experienced rejection in many different ways. I've discovered it's really part of life. It's part of human nature. We all are going to experience rejection. And I've decided to weave into this idea of relational brokenness, because when we feel rejected, whether it's through a friendship or another person, it often causes relationships to break down, and it can cause a lot of pain in our interactions with people. So I want to talk about rejection and relational brokenness. Now, at a macro level, we've said this, that regret is a feeling of sorrow for something that has happened. I have a feeling that many of us have looked back over our shoulder, and there's a feeling of sorrow, maybe for the mistakes that we have made, things that have happened to us, maybe missed opportunities. I know that often I have gone over and over in my mind, I wish I would have said that, or why did I say it that way, or I shouldn't have done that. And I think we all struggle with that. That's human nature. But what we're trying to go after here is allow the Lord to heal our hearts and so that we can really receive from Him and explode into our future and not be bound or paralyzed by thoughts of the past or regret in any ways. And so regret is this feeling of sorrow for something that's happened. And so I've inserted parenthetically here, this could be disappointments, mistakes that we've made, failures, you know, mistakes, things that have happened to us, losses, could be the loss of a loved one, could be a financial loss, loss of a business, missed opportunities. You can probably think of some other things that would go in there, this idea of regret. And so all of us have struggled with this. Now, I've given this picture before, and I really would like to pull this up if we have that picture of the train here, because God sees our life from beginning to end. And so when we're in the middle of it, it can be extremely painful. When we're in the middle of it, we're not even sure how to make sense of it. But I love this visual because God looks at our life from an aerial view. And so He sees the beginning and the end. We might be frustrated. We might be hurt. We might even be very, very confused. But God sees the beginning and the end. Now, here's what I want to encourage you with this picture is wherever you're at in your train, you're moving on in your journey to life. But as you reflect, there might be painful memories that have taken place. And so we're encouraging you to invite the Holy Spirit into those places, into that painful place, into that memory. The Holy Spirit can go back into different places of your life and heal you so that it no longer cripples you, paralyzes you, or affects you in a negative way. And so I present this picture to us. Invite the Lord to heal painful memories of rejection and relational brokenness. When I look back over my life, I can think of many times where I felt rejection as a kid. I think every kid goes through rejection. I think teenagers really begin to feel that because you have a longing to belong. You feel like you want to have really good friendships. And so I probably every single one of us went through ups and downs when it came to friendships. Maybe we were close to somebody and then we weren't close to somebody. And so I could share testimonies of things that I experience as far as regret. One of the big things for me is that I've always enjoyed sports. My dad was very athletic, and so I wanted to excel in sport. I think most young boys would like to do well in sports. They enjoy playing that, and so there was always a sense of wanting to do really, really well. But you don't always make the team. You know, competitiveness, I think there's a lot of positive things about athletics. You know, team aspects, working together, drive, success, all of those things are very, very positive. Learning how to win graciously, learning how to lose graciously. There's a lot of great things. But there's a dark side to it as well. There's always a negative side to some of the positive things. And there can be an unhealthy competitiveness. Or if you don't measure up, then you feel inferior. You don't feel like you're as good as everybody else. You don't necessarily feel like you belong. And then it gets really painful because oftentimes you can't help. You might really work hard, but you can't help your genetics. You're not very tall. You're not very strong. You don't have the body type. And you could work really, really hard, but still not make it. And so then there's this sense of kind of rejection that takes place. And so for me, I had to really wrestle through a lot of those things and give those things to the Lord and really allow Him to heal me and to set me free from those things. And so you could probably think of many things in your life. So whether it's relationships, whether it's disappointments, maybe it's not getting a job, not being accepted at school, not being able to have the finances to go to the school that you wanted to, just these immense feelings and sense of rejection, of not being accepted, maybe not being in the group, the friend group that you really longed to be a part of. And so we can really think of many different examples. The pain of rejection is that feeling of being overlooked and marginalized. That's really painful. I wonder if there's someone here today where you have felt that feeling, that painful feeling of being overlooked or marginalized. When I say marginalized, it's that sense of you're treated as insignificant or inferior. That could be, you might feel that because of your gender. Ladies, maybe there were times that you felt put down because you were a woman in a business world. We could all feel that. Maybe you're healed here today and you felt the sting of prejudice where other people really didn't accept you and you felt outside of the group. That feeling of marginalized, this kind of thing really, really troubles me because I've always had a heart for the disenfranchised. I've always had a heart for the lonely. It troubles me when I see a kid left out. It troubles me deeply when I see someone left out. And so maybe you're here and you felt the pain of that or the sting of that, that feeling of rejection. This is the pain of rejection. Now, let me just share some symptoms of relationships that are broken, some symptoms of rejection and relational brokenness, because I think they really work together oftentimes. Here would be one. This might be a symptom of rejection. Not always, but it might be. You don't feel good enough. No matter what you do, you don't feel good enough. You don't feel good enough in the classroom, in the academic world. You don't feel good enough on the athletic field. You don't feel good enough in your career. You don't feel good enough in your marriage. You don't feel good enough in your family and relationship. That could be a symptom of just rejection. Here's another one. You feel like you have to earn the other person's love. Have you ever been in a friendship or a relationship where you start feeling like you're trying to please the other person and you feel like you're trying to earn their love? You might know cognitively that that's not the way it's supposed to work, but emotionally that's what you start feeling. I got to earn the person's love. That could be a symptom of rejection. And notice then how relational brokenness begins to take place. Here's another one. You don't feel like you can please the person. You ever been in a friendship like that where you feel like no matter what you do? Some of you might have been in a marriage like that was just heartbreaking, that no matter what you did, you felt like you could never please that person. You were always trying, but it never seemed to be enough. Here's one. You just feel stupid. Have you ever felt that way? I've felt that way so many times where I just feel so stupid. But often that is a symptom that I'm struggling with rejection. I shouldn't feel that way. I'm not stupid. But how many times have I felt stupid or I've allowed other people to make me feel that way? Here's one. You usually walk away feeling like everything is your fault. Ever been in an intense, robust discussion, maybe even an argument, and you walk away, but you always feel like it's your fault? That's probably a symptom of rejection. How about this one? You feel that if someone disagrees with you, they don't like you. I have struggled with this so much. And Sarah and I have had discussions, and I'll say something, and then she'll just give me another idea. And I'll take it so personally. I'll be so hurt by that. And she has told me for 30 years, I'm not rejecting you. I'm just giving another idea. And so I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. But I have really struggled with this, that if she gives me a different idea, that I take it that she doesn't like me. And usually that's more profound when it's her, because she's so close to me. I may not always feel that way with someone else, but with my wife, yeah, I really tend to feel that way. And so I'm really working on that. I'm working on that. Here's another one. This would be a symptom of rejection. It's hard for you to say no because you want people to be happy with you. Now, that's a whole nother message about learning how to have boundaries and when to say yes and no. But I think that this is a symptom of rejection, that if we're always saying yes, we don't know how to say no in a healthy way, that could be a symptom of rejection. Not always, but it could be. Here's a big one, and I'll finish with this. You bury your frustrations, but then later you lash out irrationally. I have done that so many times, and it's usually because I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to really be a good Christian, so I'm frustrated, I'm angry about the situation or the person, and I just bury it because I know that I shouldn't respond. It's not the Christ-like thing to do. And then it starts leaking out in other ways because there's a lot of pressure points. And so I lash out irrationally, or I take it out on maybe Sarah or someone in my family that's close to me. But these are all symptoms of rejection. And maybe you can think of some other ones. Now, you'll see how this dovetails, because when you feel rejected, it affects your relationships. And your relationships begin to break down. There's a brokenness that takes place. And so I would surmise here today that every one of us have experienced this at different levels. And so we really got to go to the Lord for healing and continued growth in our life so that we can be healthy. We can have a great relationship with the Lord, but we can also have healthy relationships with the people that are closest to us. And we can minister then out of a healthy place and not out of a broken place. Say amen to that. And so I just want to cover some ground here. It's going to be, we're going to cover quite a few scripture, but I feel like it's important. First, let's talk about some things that we need to know about people. What do you need to know about people? This will really help you, okay? Just an understanding how people are and what they're like. What do you need to know about people? Number one, people are messed up. Okay, so I'm going to help you. If you have struggled with rejection, I have struggled with this. So I could tell you testimony after testimony. I'm not going to share all of my stories today. We just don't have time. But I've struggled with rejection. So I want to help you. I want to share with you. Just know this in your heart and in your mind, because I just told you all the symptoms. Number one, people are messed up. Okay. So a lot of times when you're feeling rejected, you feel messed up. But you gotta tell yourself, people are messed up. Everyone is messed up. Listen to Jeremiah 17, verse 9 out of the New Living Translation. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? If we were to take time and pull the curtain back from everybody's life here, we all got stuff. And that'll help you a little bit to realize, you know what? When you're not feeling so good about yourself and you feel dumb, just realize they're not that smart either. Say amen to that. And I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to help us here. Number two, this is very true. People usually only think about themselves. People just think about themselves. So really, they're not that concerned about you, unfortunately. So James 3:16 says this, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." The truth and the reality is most people just think about themselves. They're really not thinking in a Christ-like manner. Now, hopefully in the church family, it's a little bit better. But overall, that's the case. Thirdly, about people, most people are very insecure. Really, when you strip away the complexities and all the layers of the human emotion, you get down to who a person really is. Most people are actually quite insecure. Listen to 2 Peter 3:17 out of the NLT. So be on your guard, then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. God wants you to have a secure footing to be secure. The only way you're going to really be secure is to have a wholesome, healthy relationship with Jesus. Have an intimate relationship with Christ. That is going to ground you, make you secure. Most people don't have it. To be honest, they're wicked, and so they're insecure. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just sharing with you what the Scripture says. And so that'll help you, though, as you're interacting with people and you're talking to them and you feel rejected. Remind yourself, well, this person's very insecure. Oftentimes, the way people act is a result of their insecurity. Number four, and I think we all know this, hurting people hurt others. Hurting people hurt others. 1 Peter 2:1, this is out of the easy-to-read version, the ERV. So then, stop doing anything to hurt others. Don't lie anymore and stop trying to fool people. Don't be jealous or say bad things about others. The reality is a lot of people hurt people because they've been hurt. And they really, quite honestly, don't know how to have a relationship or they don't know how to move on in healthy ways. And so they've been hurt and they turn around and they hurt someone else. So these four things have really helped me as I'm interacting with people. So we need to know these are some things about people. Now, conversely, what are some things we need to know about God? We need to know some things about people, but we need to know some things about God. Number one, God loves you extravagantly. Extravagantly. You've got to tell yourself that over and over again, that He loves me, but it's an extravagant love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. If we had time to try to talk about how much God loves us and how much He deeply cares for us, you've got to tell yourself that over and over. He loves you, and it's extravagant. Number two, this is big, God accepts you just the way you are. That's huge. That's huge. Acts 10, 35, 34 to 35. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears Him and does what is right. I love this verse. So hear the word of the Lord today. God loves you. There are no favors. Maybe you grew up in a home where you felt slighted, where you felt like maybe the boys had favor. They were shown favor, but the girls weren't. Could be a plethora of reasons. Maybe you grew up tragically in a home where you felt like there was favoritism. Or maybe you grew up in a culture or society where you felt like there was favoritism. Hear the word of the Lord. God does not show favoritism. He loves every single one of us the same. And somebody that's truly in Christ will love everybody exactly the same way. Say amen to that. There's so much to this verse here. But He doesn't show favoritism, and He accepts every nation, the one who fears Him and does what is right. Every nation, every ethnic group. I love this. Every ethnic group. We're all part of the family of God. We're all part of the kingdom of God. He loves every single ethnic group. That is the beautiful thing of the family of God. And so if you felt the sting of that, if you felt the pain of that, I'm inviting you to ask the Lord to come into those places, those memories. Ask Him to heal that. Set you free from those places of pain. They're very, very real. But God can heal you. And as a child of God, you can move on in incredible freedom. Number three, what you need to know about God. God has a plan for you that you can trust. He's got a plan for you that you can trust. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. That's really important that you realize He's got a plan for you. If you submit to Him, you acknowledge Him, then He is going to direct your paths. He's going to orchestrate your life for you. He's going to move things around in your favor. He's got a plan, and you can trust that plan. That's important because if you have felt rejected, you feel alone, isolated, and no one's on your side. And so you got to hear the truth of God, who He is. Number four, God wants to give you hope. So Ephesians 1:18 out of the NLT, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Notice this, he wants to flood your heart with confident hope. Man, that's powerful. And so we need to know those four things about God. He loves us extravagantly. He accepts us just the way we are, with our personality, even though there's rough edges, with our looks, even if you look in the mirror and you don't always like what you see, he accepts you just the way you are. That's so important. He's got a plan for you that you can trust, even if others have rejected you, even if the school rejected you, even if the employer rejected you, even if your classmates rejected you, even if the coach rejected you. But he's got a plan that you can trust. He's got for your life, and he wants to give you hope, confident hope. He wants to heal you from all this so you can live life beyond regret. Can you say amen, church? Now, I want to share this with you. We need to be careful of a downward cycle. So please take note of this. We have to take note of this. Be careful of a downward cycle. I've noticed this. The cycle goes like this. You feel rejected and then you feel worthless. And from there, it's self-hatred. And after self-hatred, it's negative behavior. So take note of that. Those four things that you can feel rejected, then you can feel worthless, and then it goes to self-hatred, and then it goes to negative behavior. This is a vicious cycle. And so what we want to do is catch this before it goes down to negative behavior. You want to catch it right away when you feel rejected so you don't start feeling worthless and then it goes even further to self-hatred or into negative behavior. And so let me just give you the counter scripture for each one of these, and then I'm going to give you some nuts and bolts on dealing with rejection. When it comes to rejection, all of us will feel rejection. At any time, you can feel it from a stranger, from somebody close to you. You might feel it today. How can you respond? We want to respond right away. Psalm 66, verse 20. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. If you feel rejected today, you have got to. I pray you can feel courageous enough to do this, to say, you know what? Even if this person rejects me, God doesn't reject me. Doesn't reject my prayer, and he will not withhold his love from me. You catch it right away. Worthlessness, though, it can be easy to start feeling worthless. Here's the scripture, Isaiah 43, verse 4 from the NLT. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you were precious to me. You were honored, and I love you. Everyone say this out loud. That's what the Lord says about me. Okay? Now, he has given lives in exchange for you. He gave Jesus. Jesus gave his life for you. Don't minimize that. Even if you've walked with the Lord a long time, Jesus died for you, gave his life for you. But you know there are people sitting in this room and people in your family that have given their lives for you. Might be your parents. Might be a good friend, might be a pastor, might be somebody that has really laid down their life in exchange. That's how much the Lord loves you. He will bring people into your life. And if you have lost a close friend at school, if you have lost a close friend, God is not only going to heal you, but hear the word of the Lord. He's going to bring people into your life. He will have others exchange their life for you. That's how much he loves you. And so we can feel worthless. Now, we certainly don't want to move to self-hatred. This is the downward cycle. And some of you may have experienced this, or you've danced around it, or you've felt some of these emotions. But Matthew 5, 11 and 12 says this, blessed are you when people insult you. Could you really believe that? That you're blessed because somebody said something mean to you or unkind to you? When they persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Let me pause right there. I don't have a lot of time to talk about this, but I don't know if you realize that a lot of times people don't like you because you love Jesus. They don't even know the intensity of the spiritual warfare that is going on. But the fact that you have certain convictions and you love the Lord, and they don't even realize it, but the Bible says this, there's no fellowship with light and darkness. There's a clash. No wonder when you're at school, you don't feel like you fit in. You shouldn't. You shouldn't fit in. You don't, because you're light and they're darkness. So there's going to be this clash. So remind yourself of that. But God says he's blessing you because of this. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we wouldn't invite persecution on anyone. We wouldn't want that kind of pain on anyone. But you know what? You're in good company. You're in the company of Jesus. You're in the company of the prophets who have gone before. You're in the company of godly men and women who have gone before. And so Jesus says, you know what? Rejoice. Now, I'm here to declare to you, he's going to help you even here in this life. But at the least, you have a reward in heaven. At the least, the Lord is smiling now. At the least, when you get to heaven, there's going to be an incredible reward, because maybe you have had to face a little bit of persecution. You know, we often talk about persecution in other countries, and that's very, very real. We have a prayer. We have a heart of prayer for the persecuted church. But I have become increasingly aware of the persecution here in America. And what do I mean by that? I mean that you can't seem to pray on an athletic field without being demonized about that. You can't seem to have a Bible study at a school without them giving you a hard time. Just this incredible persecution that is so irrational. And to be honest with you, it's incredibly demonic. And so we're increasingly aware of that. But I'm here to declare to you today that, man, the Lord is pleased with you when you take a stand for the Lord, whether it's in your school, whether it's at workplace, but you let your light shine. Say amen to that. And the final thing is, you don't want to go down this spiral of negative behavior. Listen to James 1, 19 to 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. What happens in this downward spiral is that you feel rejected, then you feel worthless, and you don't like yourself, and then what you start doing is you start acting out in negative behavior. And the Bible says clearly here, the anger or the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So we feel rejected, we feel angry, and so we take it out on the people that are closest to us. We take it out on others. Or sometimes we do things that we know are clearly wrong. We go to dead places for life. You've got to learn not to do that. And you've got to learn to go to the Lord. And so the Lord doesn't want us to act out in negative behavior. And so what we're trying to do is be healed of this rejection and not stuff it down deep down our heart, so that we act out in an unchristlike way or in a negative way. God wants to heal us from this. And so if we experience rejection, immediately we can respond the way the Lord wants us to. It can be Christ-like. We can receive healing. In other words, there isn't this long gap from when it happens and we take a spiral downward. No, to the contrary, we're walking in the freedom of the Lord. Say amen to that. And so let me give you the progression of growth that I would pray would happen for us, okay? Here's somebody that there's zero progression. And maybe you're here right now. Maybe you're in this right now. Maybe you were there. But zero progression would be like you're in the rejection and you're not growing in any way. So you've got to have, this is your prayer. If you feel deeply rejected and you're not living in the victory or the joy, this is your prayer. Here's your prayer, Ephesians 4, 31 to 32 out of the NLT. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. That's your prayer. You got to start somewhere to say, Lord, I felt so hurt by other people. I don't even know where to start. I feel so bitter. I feel so hurt. This is your starting point. You begin to pray this scripture. Now, maybe you're further along in this process of growth, but it goes something like this. You don't feel completely rejected, but you are at this place where performance is based on acceptance. Remember what we said about not being able to say no, or if they give something a counter thought, you feel rejected as a person. And so no matter what you do, you can't please them. it's that feeling. But really, if we're really honest, they may have their issues, but you can only talk about yourself and get victory for yourself, right? So the prayer is this: mercy triumphs over judgment. That's your prayer. If you're in this sense of performance-based relationships and trying to get acceptance, this is your prayer. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's got to be your prayer. Lord, I'm not going to let them judge me. I'm not going to judge them. But mercy triumphs over judgment. That's a big one. Here would be where God wants all of us. Unconditional acceptance is where he wants us. And here's the scripture, Romans 8, 35 to 39. This is my prayer. I could live here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or danger or nakedness or the sword? No. Everybody say no, 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 no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced. See, we got to be convinced. I am convinced. This is where I want to get to. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Say amen. This is where we want to be. So if somebody says something unkind to you, if somebody rejects you, if somebody puts you down because of your lack of education or puts you down because of your ethnicity or puts you down because of your gender, no, that's not going to, they don't have that much power over you. And so it might hurt, but you're saying, you know what, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Yes, it might hurt, but nothing can separate me from the love of God. Say amen to that. Pinch your neighbor and say, this is good teaching. Now, let me give you some steps toward healing and freedom, okay? If you struggle with rejection, if you've struggled with this, what are some steps toward healing and freedom? First, focus on facts, not feelings. This is really big, because when you feel rejected, you're hurt. And so what do? You focus on your feelings. So you've got to have the mental veracity. You've got to have the courage and the strength, the spiritual strength. And you've got it. You can do it. To focus on facts, not feeling. John 6, 37 out of the NLT. Those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. I think we should read this last part out loud and personalize. Say, and God will never reject me. Specifically, it was Jesus. And say it, and Jesus will never reject me. So I might feel rejected by others. I might feel misunderstood, but I've got to put facts before feeling. I've got to focus on the fact. The fact is that Jesus has never rejected me, and he never will reject me. Doesn't matter how much I feel like others think I'm stupid. It doesn't matter how much I feel like others don't accept me. The truth is, he will never, ever reject me. This is huge. This is the first thing that I've got to put facts before feelings. Say amen to that, okay? Number two, this is big. Ask God to heal you. Just invite him in. Ask him to heal you. When somebody has rejected you, may I say this with love? I'm not quite sure how to say this because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I've discovered that a lot of people have hurt, but they haven't even asked the Lord to heal them. You got to go to the Lord. You got to ask the Lord, Lord, heal me from that. Because what happens is this: people just feel like they got to move on. I got to put one foot in front of the other. And maybe they've been hurt their whole life, so they just keep moving on, pressing on. Pause, stop, ask the Lord to go to that place and heal you in your heart. Those painful things that I said, some of you still might be here today and a teacher said something to you when you were a kid, or a parent said something to you, or a sibling, and it has really paralyzed you. It's affected you, maybe even more than you realize. You shouldered on, you were brave, you pushed on, you moved on like you had to, but maybe it's affected you in different areas. So ask the Lord to heal you. Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. Man, the Lord loves you. If you have felt rejected by a best friend, he loves you. If you felt rejected by maybe an ex, husband or an ex-wife, man, the Lord loves you and he wants to heal those places. Some of you might have been here and you've gone through emotional abuse or verbal abuse, or you've gone through terrible things that have happened. Hear the word of the Lord. God loves you and he heals the brokenhearted. That's what he does. That's the love of the Lord. And so ask God to heal you. Now the next step is miraculous. Well, they all are. But thirdly, you have to start forgiving those who have hurt you. You have to start. And I say start because sometimes forgiveness, God gives you the grace, and maybe as you've walked with the Lord for a while, you're able to do it more quickly. That's what we're praying for, we're trying to do. But sometimes it takes time. And sometimes in the church, I think we've talked about forgiveness as, oh, well, you just need to choose to forgive. And I think we miss a step because it's hard to forgive if you haven't been healed. So you first ask the Lord to begin to heal you, and then you start this process of forgiving others. Now, let me just pose a couple of questions. Why should you forgive? Why should you forgive? Well, one, you want to forgive so that you can be intimate with God. So you can have a close relationship with the Lord. Let me give you the scripture, Matthew 6, 14 to 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's very difficult to have a personal relationship, close relationship with the Lord when there's unforgiveness in your heart. It chokes out intimacy with the Lord. And so if you release forgiveness to others, you can receive forgiveness. If you receive forgiveness, you can release forgiveness. They're very closely intertwined. And so you want to forgive because you want to have intimacy with God the Father. You don't want anything to choke out your relationships with him. Secondly, for the sweetness and joy of life. For the sweetness and joy of life. If you're struggling with unforgiveness, man, there's a bitter taste in your mouth. It's bitter. It's a bad taste. It's hard to enjoy life because that person hurts you so bad. Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. This is so powerful because we can miss the grace of God. God's saying, I love you, I want to heal you, but we're so hurt and bitter that we don't go to him. And it's understandable, humanly speaking, right? But we could miss out on the grace of God. And if we allow bitterness to continue in our life, it will cause trouble and defile many, not just you. Here's the terrible thing about this, is when you've been hurt and abused, you're defiled. But if you don't get healed and you don't allow God to do this miracle of forgiveness in your life, then you start defiling. You start hurting other people. Sometimes it could be the same way that person hurt you, but other times it could be different. But it's still just, you're hurting other people. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. What we're trying to say is the Lord loves you, doesn't want you to have that bad taste in your mouth. He wants you to have the sweetness of life. And so it's going to be a miracle where you ask God, Lord, somehow allow me to release and to forgive the people that have hurt me. A third reason for forgiveness is for freedom to live without hindrance. God wants you to be free. I've found that unforgiveness will bind us. Unforgiveness will tie us up. I love this verse, Revelation 1:5. Jesus, it says that Jesus loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. By his blood that he forgives us. But we forgive others. He loves us so much. But listen to this verse. This is Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now watch this. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That is such a strong verse, that we would forgive as the Lord forgives us. The challenge is we start categorizing sin. And so we start thinking, well, what this person did was terrible. And humanly speaking, there might be some terrible things that are very different than other things. But the bottom line is that we all have been forgiven of our sins. And this challenge, it takes a miracle, but by the grace of God, we can do it. So those are a few reasons why we want that. We want to be able to have intimacy with the Father. Secondly, we want that sweetness and joy in life. And thirdly, we want the freedom to live without hindrance. If you're struggling with unforgiveness today, you know this feeling of being tied up and bound up. In other words, it's hard for you to move on because of how that person rejected you or what happened in that situation. And God wants to just heal you so that you're not bound up by that. Now, what is forgiveness? I think this is important to do. Now, I have a whole series on forgiveness, so we don't have time to develop this. But very briefly, what is forgiveness? Well, it's not justifying bad behavior. That's really, really important. When we talk about forgiving someone, we are not saying that we're justifying their behavior or that the bad behavior was okay. We are not saying that. That is not forgiveness, and that's really important. There are consequences to behavior, especially if it was criminal activity, but we are not justifying bad behavior. But what it is, it's releasing our right to judge and punish somebody. When you have been hurt, everything inside of you, especially if you're a believer or you know right and wrong, everything inside of you says that was wrong, that was injustice. And so you have a right. You actually do have a right. If somebody hurts you, there is a right for justice. There is a right for that person to be punished. But what you do when you forgive someone is you release your right to judge and to punish somebody else. Thirdly, it is trusting that God is the righteous judge. So when we forgive, we're not justifying the behavior, but what we're saying is, Lord, instead of me punishing the person, and you can punish him with your words, you can punish him with the things that you do, but even just the punishment in your mind, instead of me doing that, I want to give this to you, release you, and I'm going to trust you that you are the righteous judge, and you will take care of this situation. You'll take care of them. So let me give you the scripture. I think this scripture will really help us. Romans 12:19 out of the NLT. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. So you can throw all of your heart and emotion and pain on the Lord and say, Lord, you're the righteous judge, and you're going to punish that person if they need punishing, but that is not my issue. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to be free. And then you start realizing that it was too much of a burden for you to carry anyway because you put yourself in the place of judgment. Now, don't misunderstand. There is that sense of you wanted right and justice, but what you're doing is you're giving up that right and you're saying, Lord, you're the righteous judge. So it's up to you when and how you're going to do that, even if it's at the end of time. But I'm going to put that into your hands and I'm not going to carry this burden of trying to be the judge or trying to punish the person, or carry the burden of the hurt. I'm going to give that to you because I really want to be healed and I want to move on in freedom. Say amen to that, church. Yeah. So there's so much that I could say about this, but just the process of, this could be a whole message, but the process of starting to forgive. And so these four things, let me review steps toward healing. One, focus on the facts, not feelings. Two, ask God to heal you. Three, start forgiving those who have hurt you. And four, claim the promises of God. Claim the promises of God. Psalm 68, verse 6, God places the lonely in families. And so if you have felt rejected, if you have felt alone, if you have felt relational brokenness and feel like you've been marginalized or cast out, listen, this is the word of the Lord. This is your promise. Hold on to it. God places the lonely in families. He places them in church families. He places them in relationships that are wholesome and good. This is what God wants to do. This is the promise for you. Let's just say that out loud. Say, that's my promise. Say, that's my promise. Let me give you another one that's so rich. Listen to this, Philippians 4:1. And I want you to listen to the words here. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters. What a statement. My dear brother, my dear sister. That's what the scripture calls. They called each other, dear brother, dear sister, my dear brothers and sister, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy. I'm here to prophesy to you. And this is the word of the Lord, so I hope you'll receive this. I'm here to prophesy to you that God wants to give you friendships that are dear, relationships that are like dear brothers and sisters, so that you can experience the joy and the fulfillment of that kind of relationship. And so you might be here today and you felt the sting of rejection of a friend, or you felt pushed out, or you felt marginalized, or you were rejected. Listen, hear the word of the Lord. God wants to heal you, but He's also going to bless you with friends. And once you're healed, and as you're being healed, and as you forgive, you're going to burst into a place of freedom where you have brothers and sisters in the Lord, where you have dear friends, and they are going to be a joy and a delight for you. That is the heart of the Father. Say amen to that. Can you say amen, church? And so this is rejection. This is broken relationship. But God wants us to live beyond this. I'm going to close with this passage in John chapter 5. So I'm going to invite you to go to John chapter 5 and we'll close. But I want to apply what we've been saying to this miraculous event. I want you to think about rejection. I want you to think about broken relationships. I want you to think about maybe the unforgiveness and the bitterness that takes place. John chapter 5 and verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One of who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Now that seems like an extraordinary question. Seems obvious if you see a crippled person. Do you want to get well? But Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And I want you to apply this to when we've been hurt and rejected. And the Lord's asking us, do you want to get well? But you know, sometimes bitterness or hurt can become so familiar to us that it's a part of us that we don't really want to be changed. And it's hard to let go of the anger. It's hard to let go of the hurt. I've discovered that forgiveness is like this. It's as if somebody stabbed you with a knife right in your heart. But the only way for you to be healed is to take that knife out. You take that knife out, that's releasing your right for revenge. You take it out, you pull it out. It hurts in the process, but God heals you, and then you're free from that. But there are so many Christians, so many people that are walking around with knives in their heart, knives in their back, people that have stabbed them in the back. And so the Lord comes to us and says, hey, do you want to get well? It would seem obvious, but there might have to be a courageous change that takes place. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Do you hear the rejection? Lord, I want to be healed, but no one's here to help me. Once again, I got to do it all by myself. I've had to do it my whole life, all by myself, and I've been rejected over and over and over again. No one will help me get into the healing waters. No one will help me get to that place. I lost my job. I lost my house. I couldn't get the good job. I couldn't get... Whatever it might be, the thoughts that go through your mind, but that's a feeling of rejection. No one's here to help me. No one's here to help me get to the healing waters. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Now, in between those verses, a miracle of grace was released to that person, where he was suddenly able, because of Jesus saying to him, get up. He was actually able to get up and do. If we begin to move on these steps toward healing, actually get up and start doing those things that I told you, you're going to start walking again. Say amen to that. And so at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is a Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. And so they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, what's interesting about Jesus, he's very loving, but he's very truthful. And sometimes he really says some interesting things. He says this, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. We don't know what the sin was, but I can surmise that this feeling of rejection, this feeling of bitterness, this feeling of unforgiveness was all wrapped up in that. And that's not the best that God wants for us. Can I say this with love? Well, I'll just talk about myself. Maybe that'll help. When I'm rejected, when I feel rejected, and I really don't believe that God loves me, and I hold that bitterness in my heart, that's harmatia in the Greek. I'm missing the mark. It's sin. That's not the best for me. And so Jesus says this with love. He's not being condemned. He says, hey, stop getting sucked into that cycle of rejection and worthlessness and self-hatred and then acting out and hurting other people. Stop doing that. He challenges him. He says, I've healed you, but then embrace this. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Can you say amen, church? I'm here to tell you today, God wants to heal you from the hurt and the rejection so that we can run free. Amen? Let's stand to our feet.